cliffcentral.com.
All the small things, Blink 182. Cliffcentral.com. It's just after 7 o'clock. Let's do a stretch, huh? We haven't done that for a while. Everybody ready? There we go. How's that feel? Much better, right?
So much better.
Definitely.
Excellent.
I popped something.
What?
I popped something while stretching.
You popped something?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good. you better go see a doctor about that. Alrighty. Well, there's so much to talk about at the moment. I mean, everybody I think is interested in what's going on in the US. Obviously, we spoke a little bit about this yesterday, but also what's going on in Britain is equally worth reflecting on, because their whole political system has been completely thrown up in the air over the last couple of days. It's no small thing. This is a very, very big deal. They had a referendum. The day of the referendum announcement, the results of the announcement of the results, their prime minister resigns.
Yeah.
This is a very big deal. It all sort of happens, and then within a couple of days after that, there's a contest within his party for who will take over. The front runner drops out, Boris Johnson.
Why?
Well, because he didn't want the responsibility of the Brexit.
No,
you see.
But no, Boris Johnson. You are the one who was so vocal about how important it is that the UK leave.
Yeah.
And then when it's time to take over the reins, all of a sudden it's too much of a responsibility.
Well,
nah.
Maybe he likes messing with people. That's his thing.
Well, whatever. Theresa May, she'll be the one who'll be either blamed or heralded, depending on how this goes.
Well, let's see what she does. I'm gonna just watch this one from the outside without an opinion to start off with. And I'm just excited that there's stuff happening over there. There's stuff happening here. You know, it's less than 4 weeks to the elections.
No.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. I keep thinking August is so far away.
No, it's just around the corner.
It's less than a month away.
And
those ads keep coming out more and more often on TV.
Yeah, have you seen a lot of ads?
I haven't seen a single ad, not from anyone.
Have you got posters up in your neighborhood?
So many.
Yeah, a lot of DA
so many,
stuff.
Yeah.
Have you got DA? I have DA, EFF, Vryheidsfront Plus. I don't have any ANC. But EFF are at the top of the poll, then DA, and then Vryheidsfront Plus have squeezed in underneath the DA. But I do not have one ANC poster in my neighborhood, which means they've either written us off, they don't care for our votes, or they reckon they're not going to win, so they might as well spend their money advertising in places where they can. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
As a UDM one.
A UDM one in your neighborhood?
I did. I was like, what?
You were like, who's the UDM?
This is like a new Pokemon. Try find the other posters.
Right.
I
know the ANC are nowhere in my neighborhood. Yeah, Flax, what's it?
There are massive ANC billboards at toll gates.
Now, that's a bad idea. Isn't that a bad idea?
Well, think about it. You stop at the toll gate to pay, so you're more likely to see the big ad.
But the association is so bad.
It's like with us, you'll pay for basic things more and more often.
I mean, who's consulting them on their election campaign? Heinrich Himmler?
These are normal old school toll gates, right? This is obviously, you're not talking about the new gantries that are up
for e-tags. No, old school toll gates. It's a beautiful photo of Jacob Zuma gazing into the sky.
Beautiful. Yeah. All leader-like. Wow. I don't know. The ANC should do whatever they can, especially in Gauteng, to stay the hell away from toll gates. People hate them. Apparently, the DA have promised they will pull down those gantries, serve the EFF.
Okay.
Now, that alone is reason for me to vote for them, because I hate those e-tolls so much. By the way, I heard that SABC license renewals are dropping through the floor at the moment. People are just refusing to renew their TV licenses. So I would suggest, if you have your TV license come up anytime in the next while, do not renew it.
Yeah, I got some fresh toilet paper in the post last week.
Did you? Oh, you got a note from them?
It's very official. Letters and
because how long haven't you paid for?
Well, there's final demands, and they use other big words.
You know, I don't know how I managed to escape being tracked by certain individuals. I never get anything in my mail about renewing my TV license ever. No. I never get anything in my mail about e-tags.
Well, you moved like 6 months ago, didn't you?
No, but I have never received a single thing in the post about e-tolls.
You're in the dark. Like, you've gone dark.
I don't exist.
Yeah, you don't exist. How lucky for you.
They don't know that I
Gareth,
exist.
That's funny. The bank didn't know where to get hold of you. You'd
that's what
fine.
I meant. That's why she hates cameras. See?
Yeah, my buddy hates cameras. We got these guys in this morning filming. Where are you guys from again? Pashita, call them up to the microphone. I'm coming to you in a second, Simba. Simba's waiting on the line. Joburg Day TV, right?
Joburg2day.tv.
Oh, right. Well, what is that, a TV channel?
It's an online platform that covers everything that happens in and around Joburg.
Wow, okay. Now, who have you had on? I mean, is it me and Pokemons? Who else have you had on here? What's your name?
My name is Riley Hlakaniphosakwe. So I'm one of the presenters and producers. And yeah, we cover a whole lot of stuff from your entertainment to your musicians and...
Who's the most famous person you've had on? Let me know who I'm up against.
The most famous person I have interviewed. Wow. Leanne Dlamini is one that pops up to mind, I think also because she's very pretty.
All right. I think I'm going to win this one.
All right. Yeah, you might just.
How do I know if I win? You let me know.
Will do.
What are the criteria to win?
I guess it depends on how many views you get. Unless you can beat AKA, then I don't know. It might be a rather tough situation, say.
All right. Well, then I'm not interested. You guys can go home. Get out of here. All right. Let's go to Simba, who's on the line. Let me just turn on this. Hey, Simba, what's up, brother?
All right, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. What's news?
Perfect. I'm just thinking, I heard what you guys talking about, the ANC billboard. I think I think the DA should do what BMW, Mercedes do in the States, where they basically advertise against each other, put billboards next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you've seen the one where BMWs are being transported by a Mercedes-Benz truck. and the advert is, Mercedes-Benz also brings shared driving pleasure.
Oh, that's beautiful. So that's very clever.
Same principle applies. You just put a billboard next to the ANC and they're like, yes, these are the guys that put in the tollgate. Just put in an arrow there and say, yes, they gave you the tollgate. It could work.
That would be very clever if the DA say, every time you go under this thing, you're paying the ANC.
Yes. Yeah. Right next to the ANC billboard.
But you know what had happened?
Beautiful arrow there.
The problem with election advertising is that it has to pass through the IEC.
Yeah.
And the IEC probably won't tolerate any kind of competitive advertising. Yeah. I'd love it, though. I'd love like a poster of Julius saying, pay back the money.
It would make for interesting politics.
I think our politics are not boring, if you don't mind my saying. I don't think we need more excitement. Have you decided who you're voting for?
I'm Zimbabwean.
Oh, lucky you. How's your country doing today? Have you heard anything from home?
We're pretty fucked. The guy that's been running the This Flag campaign has put on a clip yesterday saying that he's been called by the secret service today, I think. Yeah. God. No, Central Intelligence. For in code.
That's Evan Mawarire, right?
Yeah. For an interview in code. So could go either way, but interesting is he put it online. So if he doesn't come back, everyone will know. Because he said, I'm going this morning. I'll catch up with you guys later.
Yeah, I hope he comes back, but I'm thinking, bye-bye. That's the last time we'll see him.
That's the thing. Uh-huh. They might make him disappear, and then they'll ride the wave, playing, oh my God, this guy's missing. This, and it will die down eventually.
Have you listened to our Zim show yet?
Yes. The two guys that were saying it's better to send Zim guys back.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who sounded like he's got a carrot up his ass. I did. Quite interesting. It was quite an interesting view. I did. I caught it one of those days.
All right. You're not a fan. I like that, though. All right. Thanks, dude.
Sorry. Cool, man. Just.
Cool, man.
Hi, Mabale.
Hi, Simba.
Stop hitting on Mabale, please.
Have a good day.
Leave her alone. She'll call the police. Get out of here. God damn it. Well, we'll have you declared an illegal immigrant. Leave her alone. Monique says, I wish Cloudy would get into Pokemon and it would send him over a, like the edge of a road or something.
You know, my cousins and I were talking about how scary Cloudy's eyes are. He has evil-looking eyes.
How can you have such bloodshot eyes? Has he not heard of eye drops, or is he on weed the whole time? I mean, what's going on there? His eyes are bloodshot. And they do look yellow and evil, right?
They do.
Like a lizard.
Yes. Like a reptilian eye.
What's going on there? Does anybody know how you get eyes like that? Because I'll tell you what, if I ever need to intimidate the hell out of people, I want to know how to get my eyes all yellow and bloodshot. You have to breathe in like huge amounts of smoke and... how do you do that? Does anybody know?
Only Cloudy knows, Gareth.
Well, I wish I understood that. He is scary looking. This message came through from Anushka. She said, morning, guys. I arrived at King Shaka Airport yesterday from Johannesburg. When you exit the plane and you go down the escalator to the baggage claims, there's a huge ass ANC sign on the pillars and a big banner of Jay-Z on the upper wall. Welcome to Tekwini.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's his home, isn't it? KZN?
Yeah, well, that's the place that they don't need to advertise. I mean, they're not in danger of losing Tekwini Municipality, right?
I don't think so, no.
No, that's why I wonder why they just don't advertise in my neighborhood. Kala says, I wish the 90s would come back. 95 World Cup, Madiba raves, all that stuff. Well, Kala, you got to listen to Marco's story after 8. It might change your mind. And Greg says, morning, guys. Strong. Keep up the content. I've been going through podcasts, motivated stuff there as always. That's a pleasure, Greg. That's what we try to do. And Vessel says that Cloudy looks like those snake people who have a demon in their soul. Well, he does really look scary. And if I bumped into, and he's also got this funny little voice. I mean, you know, he sounds odd. So if I had to bump into him on the street, I'd be a little bit nervous. He doesn't sound or look like he's got, like he's all there, you know? He might...
Like there's an evil that lurks.
There's something going on.
Halala, my freestata, halala. Halala, Limpopo, halala. Halala, Gauteng, halala. Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Well, someone says here, Carl says that lack of sleep and yellow eyes is the first sign of liver failure. Also, when your eyes are bloodshot, you got to look at that. Eyes red means lack of sleep, and yellow eyes is the first sign of liver failure.
Well, which one does Cloudy have? Is it the bloodshot look or is it the yellow?
Maybe he's drinking like some heavy stuff. You know the kind of stuff that they make out of lizards and things and they bury in the back garden? Like even Russians wouldn't touch? Maybe he's drinking that. And maybe he's not sleeping because he said yesterday, he was very clear, like he's not stressed.
Is that what he said?
He said in the news yesterday, he's not stressed at all. Mm. He has no stress because he's doing a great job.
Okay.
And he knows he's doing a great job and he's not listening to all these people, all these naysayers. He isn't scary. He's just really simple, says Graham. Well, look, I do have to be honest. When I saw him on TV again last night, I thought... Really, it's kind of odd that someone who's so basic, he's very basic, he's a very basic creature. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he only learned really to wipe his own ass at the age of 6 or 7. I'd be very surprised that someone like that has managed to ascend to the position that he has. And we all know how, right? We all know that it's because of his connections to the president. But it's really, it's just quite something. It's almost unfathomable that someone so completely incompetent and so very intellectually stunted should be in control of a major national asset. It's scary that even the president, who we know is in dereliction of duty 90% of the time, that he would put forward someone as bad as Cloudy. I mean, surely there are lots of other people he could trust to handle his propaganda and probably do a more effective job at it. It's almost like he wants to make it as incompetent as possible, not just as effective from the point of view of a Jacob Zuma, you know, propaganda campaign. It's almost like he wants to really, he wants it to be dumbed down to the lowest possible common denominator. So he's chosen the dumbest person he could find. Because I bet you the president doesn't know anyone dumber than Claudi. I bet you he's laughing about this right now, sitting in his house going, I could put anyone I want in, even the dumbest people, and they can't do anything.
Well, I mean, if the saying goes, it's all about who you know, how many people do you think the president has helped out through his connections? Ooh, well, there must be a lot of people,
if you think about what Justice said the other day about those 783 charges of fraud and racketeering.
Yeah.
If that's, let's say half that is the number of people he's been involved in nefarious deals and dealings with. That's still about 300 or 400 people who he has pulled strings for, or who he has enriched, or he has helped out. Let's just say it's, let's say it's 200. That's still a lot of people. Can you imagine how his phone goes nonstop? Because he's trying to run the country on one hand, and then on the other hand, he's got all these people calling him up for favors who he either owes or they owe him or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's cashing in some of the time, and some of the time he's having to dish out. It must be, he must need two PAs, one for running the country and one for running all his networks of patronage. I mean, I like, there's got to be a side door in his office. And he's constantly dropping out of cabinet meetings and important discussions about the country so that he can meet with these people who he's greasing the palms of, or whose palms are being greased by.
I mean, it's just interesting because on the one hand, you think to yourself, oh, well, he's obviously managed to build a network of people that he can rely on, which is, you know, part of the reason why he's as powerful as he is. But then on the other hand, have any of these people ever threatened him with something to say, now listen here, Mr. President, you're going to do this, otherwise I'm going to reveal A, B, C, or D.
Well, Thabo Mbeki did with all the rape charges and everything, didn't he?
Didn't work.
Indirectly, no, it didn't work at all. Because this president's like,
he's tough.
Hide like a rhino.
Nobody can touch him so far.
But you've got to admire the ability he has to juggle all of this. I mean, there must be, because this one can't know about that one's deal, and the public can't find out about that deal, and if this one doesn't work, then that one won't work, because, you know, it's all built like a house of cards.
Yeah.
So if the coal mine doesn't work out, and then the Eskom deal does, then the people who have the coal mine won't necessarily get the deal with the Eskom. It's just so, you really need to be smart. He's not an idiot. Which is why it surprises me he put someone as dumb as Claudi in charge of the SABC. Because you'd need someone who could handle that stuff, you know. Like, you could give them a mandate. Say to them, listen, I don't want any negative stuff about me as the president or about the ANC. Can you handle that? Yes, I can handle it. All right, now go and handle it. Because you can't, Claudi's got to be micromanaged. There's no way that someone, you know, that incompetent could possibly be in charge, actually at the levers. Or is it?
Well, I don't know, because if you listened to some of the things that Jimmy Matthews said after he resigned, Claudi was basically running the SABC. And this is while Jimmy Matthews was apparently the CEO.
Yeah.
But he wasn't running that place. It was all Claudi.
That's amazing. I'd love to know. I mean, it'll all come out eventually. You know, the truth has a way of doing that. But it might be some years after all the damage is done. You know, the real scary thing is that the Treasury are saying they don't want to give the SABC any more money. We just heard yesterday they've taken out loans in the billions because they're not making money. They're in debt.
Yeah.
But Claudi goes out and he says, no, the SABC is at record profits. Clearly, he's just deluded. The guy doesn't know the first thing about profit and loss. I can't imagine. Look, I'm not smart, all right? I'm not the smartest guy in the room, in most rooms. There are a lot of people who are smarter than me, but I know the difference between a negative and a positive on a bank balance. Now, I don't think he knows that. I mean, I look at him on TV and I remove all the obvious kind of prejudices. You know, like he might not have a formal education. We know he lied about his matric and all the rest of it. But we take all that out, because you get people who don't necessarily have qualifications, but they're smart people.
Street smart.
I just don't even get that he's street smart. Like, I don't think if he were on the streets, he'd survive very long. Like, he'd be hit by a truck or something. You know, he'd be out rummaging in something and then, you know, he'd be knocked over by a bus. Or I don't think he's smart enough to know to not be rummaging through stuff in the middle of the street.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think it's more a case of people just assuming that the rest of us are idiots, which is why they think that they can tell us any lie that they pull out of the air, and they just walk away and they're like, they don't know any better.
And maybe we are, because we seem to get the government we deserve. You know, that's what they say about democracy, is you get the leaders you deserve. So in that case, we're sitting here complaining, but actually, you got what you asked for.
But it's not though, Gareth. We didn't ask for any of this shit. It just shows the flaws of democracy, perhaps. We can't generalize and say, we deserve this guy. Bullshit. Nothing we've ever done as tax-paying, law-abiding, decent people deserve cloudy nut job or deserve Jay-Z. That's crap.
Well, don't pay your TV license. That's one little way you can get back.
And don't pay your e-tolls.
Don't pay e-tolls. I haven't and I won't.
Screw it.
I haven't and I won't. And we should all just stand up and not not hand out our money like this. We work hard enough for our money. We don't have to hand it to Cloudy Mutsuneng to waste by giving Gugu Zuma 167 million rand to produce 13 episodes of a TV show. Get that Joburg Today TV guy here. If I give you a budget of 167 million rand for 13 episodes, I mean, you could produce Game of Thrones.
Exactly. A very much South African version of it, and probably still have change on the side.
That's a lot of money, right? I mean, you've done a bit of TV. You understand.
Yeah, most definitely.
I did a 13-part TV show. There was no way our budget was even 2 million rand. Huh?
Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, for 13 episodes, I know people who are in the industry who are producers and who do deal with actual accounts and the money that's involved in it. But that's
12.8 million rand an episode.
That's not even like most of the movies that we produce in South Africa.
I was on the plane with Akino Matoso on the way back from PE. And Akin is probably one of the best producers of film in this country, right?
Indeed.
And he's smart. He's figured out how he can make a show work, put a program together, put a movie together on a shoestring budget and still make it look really good. Like he produces quality stuff. And I didn't ask him at the time because the story hadn't broken yet. But I imagine if you gave him 12.8 million per episode, he could produce some phenomenal TV.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But you know where that's going, right? It's going straight to Gugu Zuma's pocket because the president's children must eat.
Well, I don't know if you saw the series of her tweets yesterday disputing the 167 million rand, which obviously she would.
Oh, she's not going to go, yeah, it's
she's
mine.
She's not going to go, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, read it and weep, bitches.
And then she basically said that she's being persecuted for producing the number one show in RSA.
Oh, must be so hard to be you.
Yeah, she says.
How do you handle that persecution when you cry into your pillow of money every night?
She said the show was never decommissioned. It is the best show in the country, according to her. And she said, you know, basically she's doing a good job and she's getting
Uzalo,
flack for
right?
it. Yeah,
Uzalo.
Uzalo.
Well, here's what she said. Let me play the clip.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
Right.
Sounds familiar, but yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched Uzalo?
I haven't yet. What is it about?
I have.
Tell us about it.
It's an addiction in my family. My mom goes crazy over it. It's a story about these two families where the children got switched at birth. One family went to the pastor's family, one son went to the pastor's family, the other son went into the gangster's family, and he became a gangster. So in the second season, they do find out that they were switched at birth. Now we're exploring how are they going to get back? Because the pastor's son doesn't want to go to the gangster's family, because they're gangsters and he's become a pastor. And the son who was the pastor's, the son who was switched, who's now a gangster, he's now trying to go back to his old family, who are the pastors and their prayers, but he's already a gangster. So it explores all those things, church and a whole lot of things, but it starts from there.
Hmm.
Sounds like they stole the script from Parent Trap.
It's It's pretty cool, though. I mean, that does sound compelling.
Yeah, that's not a boring storyline at all.
Yeah, no. And it's filmed, like, outside, live scenery. It's not like Generations where you film it in studio 24/7. It's outside.
Oh, so maybe proper. They need that big budget. Huh? And of course,
location.
Is Gugu the producer or does she star in it as well?
No, she's just the producer.
Okay.
And she went into it with the guy who started Movango, Duma, what's his name?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay, and he's got experience.
Sure.
Okay. Maybe I should check it
Absolutely.
Out. What do they call these things these days?
Yeah.
They call them telenovelas, although
yes,
I still don't understand what the hell that is.
Absolutely.
Is it that? So it's not a soapy. It's a...
Yeah, it's more of a telenovela.
It's a telenovela. Mm.
Gugu, are you sure it's 12.8 million?
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, now we're finding things out about this, but I still don't think 12.8 million when the average show in South Africa is probably a couple of hundred thousand.
167 million. Where you get 12.8
from? I'm talking about per episode.
Oh, yeah. I see.
You know?
Yeah, she says it's not true. She says they're getting getting 14,000 rand a minute. What?
Yeah, they always cost TV shows per minute because it confuses people like me and you. SABC, I'm more interested in XYZ, says Pantograph. Well, I don't think you should have to worry. I mean, Benita's also asking, why can't we just legally cancel our TV licenses? I don't use any of their services. This is an argument that's been going on for a long time.
Sure, and can they blacklist you because you don't pay the stupid thing?
I don't know.
Do they even have the grounds? Because this just sounds like a lot of intimidation tactics, because they'll phone you and they'll bore you with, have you paid your TV license? I look forward to those calls now. They're very good conversations. But then I hate having conversations with people who are just trying to make a wage, you know? It's not their problem.
Yeah, it's someone in a call center.
They also probably...
What a horrible job, and you probably take so much abuse every day from people who just hate you because of what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you're calling them up about the one thing they really couldn't care less about paying for every month, and they just hate you. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible job.
Exactly. I just now struggle to buy a good TV because I don't have a TV license.
Yeah. Well, you know, all you do is you say to the person at the store, okay, well, then I don't want your TV if you're not going to give it to me without a license. You watch them suddenly change their mind. 5,000 rand TV or I walk.
I walk.
You know?
If you know somebody who has a TV license, could you get them to buy the TV for you, in inverted commas? I'm sure there are people
you
who
could.
Do that.
That's a good idea.
I'm sure there are plenty
license.
Of people
who's got a TV
that?
License sure. here. Flex, have you got one?
All I need to do is email you my TV license, the last payment that I made, and you can use it as your own.
Oh, really? Well, this is great. What a great system. We've just figured out a way around it, and we're not even that bright. Oh, wow. What a stupid waste of time.
It was also a massive waste of time that I didn't have time to chat about yesterday.
Yes, tell me.
Bloody bullfighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone died.
Yeah.
Shame. Like 200 bulls die every single year, but one dreamt up, the horrible dandy-looking Spanish man dies. And everyone's like, oh, shame. Well, not actually. Now, there's obviously the massive debate because it's the first time since, I think, 1986 that someone's died bullfighting.
How many bulls have died?
Well, exactly. Like, it's like 200 a year at least. So people are saying, oh, yeah, it's so horrible. And then the wife's coming out saying, oh, my life is over, blah, blah, blah. But your husband was a bullfighter. I mean, come on.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
Me either, not the slightest. So he was prancing around in his jester outfit. And the bull was having none of it, saw his move for the showmanship that it was, and then hit him with the horn, right? So what happened is that he punctured his lung.
Uh-huh.
And then it clipped his aorta. Mm. The guy kind of died, and you can see the video. It's all over the internet. You can see his eyes go a bit wild, and he's dead. So you think, like, you know, you live by the sword, die by the sword thing. Why is anyone upset about this dude, Victor Burio? Yeah, shame. No one wants to die, etc., etc. But am I the only insensitive person here that really thinks this is a success for bulls?
Yeah, I think well done to the bulls.
And the bull can't even savor his victory. They'll kill him.
Yeah, they'll kill him anyway.
The bull can't even then go out, be the toast of the town for the night. I mean, if they call this sport, there must be a winner and a loser. The bull was clearly the winner this time round. So why must he be killed?
I think the bull should be given like a nice green field somewhere to frolic around in.
Completely.
When you say that many bulls have been killed, why do they kill them?
It's because they're stupid pricks, mumps. Well, look, this is the whole thing, right? Because they go, oh, it's our culture, it's our sport. So there's around 200 bullfights that happen every single year around Spain. Some regions are starting to actually ban bullfighting because, well, thankfully, 2016. So during the fight, they have these swords put into their back. And slowly but surely, the bull dies and everyone claps and they all eat carpaccio afterwards. But now the bull managed to kill the dude.
I don't know. You see, when it comes to animals, I think that a lot of people have a lot of double standards that you just either make work for yourself or use against somebody else who you disagree with. Yeah. I mean, you'll find a lot of people crying about the bulls and, oh, the poor bulls. But then on a Saturday, they go hunting with their uncle.
Or they eat steak. Full
or they're eating steak.
There are so many double standards when it comes to animals and how people treat animals.
Look, I am all for animal rights, and I care about animals, and I do think animals deserve the same rights as humans have. But I eat meat, so I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, and you know what? In a different part of the world, people don't eat meat because they view cows as sacred animals.
In India.
In a different pocket of the world, people eat dogs because they're like, well, it's a meat, right? But then you have a problem with it.
In Korea.
Too many double standards.
In Korea, they eat their children because they don't get enough protein anywhere else.
Yeah, Mubs, we can never get away from that.
Who are we to judge?
With something as blatant and stupid and medieval as a bullfight, like, it seems stupid.
I just think that if you're in Spain and you consider yourself to be a part of the first world and you think you're entitled to have a European passport and all the rest of it, you should hold at least the people who go to an arena and want to watch this kind of butchery, you should hold them all to a higher standard. And if they really want to see that kind of shit, let them go to a backward, horrible country like, I don't know, Afghanistan or something. Because in Afghanistan, nothing surprises me. I don't know the answer. I wish I knew.
Unfortunately, the bull's name has not been released.
Oh, see? Yeah. They always do that.
We all know.
To protect his relatives from the pain?
No, he needs glory. He needs to go down and be known as this great bull. Not bullfighter. That's a stupid profession with stupid pants. Screw you, Victor. No one ever loved you, really.
Right.
The only reason you were a bullfighter is because you couldn't be a DJ. So the bull needs to be, Gareth, this is what I'm getting at. The bull needs to be celebrated as a champion. So let's just call him Alfred.
Well,
I don't think he would be called Alfred in Spain, though.
No, Alfredo. Mikhail says the bull was promised 21 virgins, poor guy. Yeah. And Daniel says, going back to the TV licenses, it's not like you can buy a TV without a tuner, which legally takes away the option not to have a license. Well, you can, actually. You can buy a monitor, like a big computer monitor. If you buy a really big computer monitor and you just connect your Apple TV, for example, to that, and you get a US iTunes account, you don't ever have to use TV. If you have... I've got to be frank. I don't watch live television anymore. I don't watch any of it. I stream stuff from the internet. I can't remember the last time I turned on my TV for a specific program. I know lots of people do. I'm probably the exception to the rule here. Seriously, I could do without it now. If they came in and stole my TV today, I wouldn't even be upset. I don't even turn... Like, half the time it doesn't, when I do turn it on, like my decoder almost goes like, what, are you kidding? Where have you been?
Can we get a bit of foreplay first? What is this? You haven't touched me in 6 weeks.
What, you go straight to channel 402? I mean, what's up with you? You know? My decoder, it's one of those Explorer ones, so I'm meant to be using it for like, all those things Somizi tells us, he's in the ads. He says, oh, you must catch up and you can rewind. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even turn it on. It's like, do you know how many functions I have? You're not even touching any of my buttons. What's wrong with you?
You have neglected me.
Yeah.
Before I left my mom's house, I thought I could never go without DSTV and always having something on TV. And then I moved out and I've been without TV probably for like 5 months. I've got a TV, but I do not miss it one bit. whenever I want to watch something, I watch it when at the time I want to watch it. Because I just stream it on my laptop and plug it into the TV. But all I really use a TV for is PlayStation.
There we go.
The fact that you always feel like you have to have something on the TV as background noise. Just play a song or something. That's why people have DSTV and they'll flick through different channels and stuff. I don't even have my TV tuned in for anything.
Isn't it great being alive now? Because we used to have to watch whatever was on.
Yeah.
Do you remember being a kid and getting home from school and you'd just have to watch whatever was on?
It was sort of like
such a lot of shit.
Like they'd tell you what to watch, and now I'm in a position where I'm choosing what I want to watch.
Well, last week while I was at my brother's house and we ended up, you know, having a very late night, and I can't remember what channel the TV is on, but we couldn't tear ourselves away because they were playing all those shows that they used to play in the 80s. Oh my gosh. It was so bad.
Like Generici, the original.
Oh, it was.
What shows did you watch?
Dude, there was like, so a lot of the black dramas, right, that we used to watch. It's just amazing that we used to watch that kind of thing.
Do you remember I had a cameo in Generations once?
Yes.
People still bring it up. No, seriously, they still, you're dating Queen!
What is that?
It was 12 years ago.
What did you do on the, you remember?
Nah, it was someone's date to a ball or something. I think it was Queen's date.
Wow, of you course. Must have been brilliant at that.
I was so crap. I'm the worst actor in the world, but luckily I had to be myself. But I always feel so awkward. I was looking through some pictures yesterday. And because I had to go through pictures, I had to find some pictures for a thing we're doing. And I was going through my photo album. Oh, first of all, do you have any idea of how much better our pictures are now than they were just 10 years ago?
Mm.
If you look at a photograph that you took on a phone 10 years ago, it's all grainy and shitty. And you couldn't use it anywhere. Like, it's just bad. Basically, you've got a hazy memory there enshrined in some kind of picture format. And before that, obviously, there weren't even digital photographs. So just don't forget that digital photographs only really came into being, what, 1996, 7, somewhere around there? So before that, you'd have to have actual photographs. Like, printed on photographic paper. I know this sounds like we're back in the 1700s, but that's actually what people had to have. There were no digital pictures then. Isn't that something?
Mm.
Look at us now with our 5 megapixel, 10-12 megapixel cameras on our phones.
No, these days we can't take a picture without a filter.
These days, a Snapchat these days is better than any picture that was taken in the 90s.
Do you remember the word spools?
Yeah, you'd have to hand those in. Do you remember them?
Yeah, but then you'd finish your spool roll, and then you'd have to switch off all the lights in the room to take out your spool. Then you have to keep it in a special place before you take it to like Kodak or somewhere.
Because it was photosensitive.
And then you'd be like scared, which photos are going to come out, which aren't going to come out.
And you could never take porn pictures. Yeah. You know, you couldn't take naked selfies. The person would have to develop them. I mean, it was complicated to hand out a naked selfie in those days. So difficult to do.
Yeah.
You got to admire those pioneers like Pamela Anderson.
Okay.
On their digital handy cams. They were the real trailblazers. These days, it's so easy to take video or pictures. We don't even think about it. And I was going through these pictures. What got me onto this whole discussion? Because we were talking about Generations and I felt all uncomfortable on TV. I always do when I have to act. When I'm just being myself, it's fine. But you feel like you have to act, right? And I was looking through these pictures and I can't believe how I used to look. I mean, I still look kind of goofy. But I just think I looked ridiculous. Every single picture of me I hated. There's not one picture I could find that I liked. Somehow I had this idea in my head that I was better looking, but oh my God, how disappointing.
So you think you're better looking now than you were back then?
I would be better looking if I ran into a wall 20 times than I did back then.
So you just looked awkward.
Just get Ronda Rousey to smack me around for like half an hour, and I'd look better than I did then. Everything, the hairstyle, the fat face. I'm surprised more people didn't want to hit me.
Oh, but I mean, if you really want a trip, you should take a look at your pictures from when you were still in school.
Oh, those are bad.
Those
right?
are dreadful.
How are yours?
Well, my mother.
Tell
she,
us about
no,
yours.
My mother keeps pictures of all of us, her kids, from primary school days in her purse. And every time she opens it, it's like, yo. Why do you have to take me back to those days? I remember on one photo day at school, I had just recovered from the chicken pox.
Yeah.
And I've just got all these scars on my face. It's honestly the worst.
And they decided that was the day to take a picture of you?
Well, I mean, they would plan the day, you know.
Your family are cruel.
No, they would diarize it at school. You know, you had a day at school with like, okay, this is photo day.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I just think it's funny that there's a stage in our lives as humans where we were kind of expecting to be taken seriously with middle partings. People would go into meetings and actually want something adult to happen with a middle parting.
I had a middle parting once. I didn't last long, but it was there.
Tonight, breaking news. You had a middle parting. Whatever you say, the joke.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I had a mushroom haircut.
Did you?
With the step and...
mushroom or pot haircut, whatever.
Do you remember
they
the, like
it.
The Backstreet Boys had at the
yeah,
time, right?
It was legit a scissors round my head.
But did you get that done at the hair salon or would your mother do it?
I think...
because those haircuts, I don't know if they were doing it at hair salons. Wasn't it just somebody's mother taking a scissor to their child's head and going, let's just fix you up quickly. It's first day of school tomorrow.
Yeah. Last day of holiday haircut. But, ma'am, sit down.
For in our school...
beat you with the bulb before I put it on your head.
Do you remember how they used to... I mean, at our school, we used to have hair... like, there were rules about what kind of a haircut you could have.
Yeah, same.
Did you also have them?
Yes, like... Even your natural hair had to be a certain height and it mustn't cover your ears. It must be pulled back. Yeah. Even your braids, they would measure them literally to a certain length and a certain color. I was like, it's my hair.
Right. I remember there was this real dick of a teacher who used to, he would actually measure your hair and like check if it went over your ears or, you need to tidy this up, Cliff. Be like, you've got to be kidding. Is that your life, you sad sack of shit?
Really?
You're in your 30s or 40s and you're walking around measuring teenage boys' hair and telling them they've got to get a haircut, you loser. Really?
At my school, they used to have this guy, Billy the Barber. You never knew when he was coming.
Dude, that sounds like a horror story.
It was like a surprise drug test, sort of. So he'd rock up one morning, and if your hair wasn't according to the protocol, you'd have to go in a line, and he would give you the shittest haircut ever. So you learn your lesson.
No.
Michael Flax, Billy the Barber, is here. I'm coming to cut your hair.
Yeah.
He'd give everyone, like, the exact same haircut.
and it sucked, right?
Yeah, but you learnt your lesson.
What's the lesson? That you've got to have your hair a certain way? Isn't that crazy?
Everyone wanted mohawks and gel in their hair and their hair spiked like this.
Ah, but we needed discipline in those days.
Yeah, we did.
Apparently.
Clearly, we also needed people to tell us how to cut our hair. Because none of us, God forbid, we should actually have our hair cut the way we want it. Show a little individuality. No, no. System's got to squash you as a child.
I don't know why, but you had to show your ears. Your hair was not allowed over your ears.
They were worried you wouldn't be listening. And you know what? It was true. I didn't listen. Mikhail says, my old man recently passed away, but even worse, I discovered going through his pictures that porn was possible in the 80s to develop. Problem was, I was born in the 80s, and I'm sure the pictures looked too close to home. Wow, Mikhail, you got to send us some of that 80s porn. Oh, it's so bad. Have you ever seen any of that vintage porn?
No.
Oh, my God, it's funny. You can find some of it on the internet. It's just, it's entirely worth laughing at and not at all going to arouse you. It's terrible. The music is bad. It's just really bad. In fact, this is the kind of music they would play in the bed. And they'd have a guy with way too much body hair walk in. Yo,
I'm here to fix the electricities.
And then this MILF would go,
oh my God, I don't know what's wrong, but here's the electrical box circuiting distributing
ding, ding.
And he'd go, come over here. I need you to point to the circuits that are giving you trouble.
Oh. And she'd go like, I don't even know what a circuit is, but you've got a big cock.
Oh. And then it would start, like, straight away. And to this music, they'd actually, like, they'd be doing it to the music. And there was so much hair. There was, all the women had these big bushes. And the men were like, they were fat and hairy. There was no one good looking in porn. Nobody. It was just basically anyone who would get naked in front of a camera. Because it was a whole thing then. It wasn't like you could just do it on the cheap.
You've done a whole study on this, have you now?
Well, I mean, it's all the same formula. All exactly the same formula. And I mean, the last time I watched any of this was probably about 10 years ago, but it burned a hole in my brain. It was so bad. Jesus, it was bad.
I was just about to say,
imagine
this.
What our poor parents had to get aroused by. Oy. Imagine, huh? That kind of thing.
But I mean, back then, when they didn't know any better, it worked for them, I suppose.
Scope magazine. We used to have the stars on the nipples because nipples were evil from the devil.
Yes, of course.
The apartheid government decided that we shouldn't see nipples. Oh. We used to put stars on the nipples. I grew up thinking that all women had stars in their boobs. What a mess.
Before they started putting like porn mags in those like plastic sheets in the bookstores, like Saturday nights after a movie when we were young, we used to go into the bookshop and we'd grab like a motorbike magazine, but then we'd put the porn magazine inside and then we'd just stand there flipping through and no one knew anything. We'd all like stand in a row doing it. There must have been like 30 kids from all different schools doing it. Yes.
How disturbing. 30 kids standing in the bookstore.
That's it. You know you're a millennial when you put a porn mag inside of another mag and read it.
Oh, this is good. I'm like,
God, I'm so glad it's 2016. I can't begin to tell you know how happy I am.
That was just a guy playing Pokemon. He just found Pikachu.
Hey, Flax, how's your score in Pokemon Go this morning?
Very low, very low.
Really?
You got to get to level 5 to sort of like join clans, Pokemon clans, and I'm only on level 2. But later I'm going to head up to McDonald's and hit the gym with my Pokemon.
Can you do both?
What?
Go to gym and play Pokemon.
No, the gym is the Pokemon gym.
Oh, right. I'm sorry, not going to gym. Pokemon gym. Sorry. But you are going to start your gym routine.
Yeah,
today.
Flex.
Started last night, guys.
Oh.
Toughest exercise of my entire life. I was telling Ben this morning, I haven't worked out that hard since grade 10 playing rugby.
What did you do?
It was a full hour, non-stop. So you run, and then you do like these rope exercises, like pull-ups, push-ups. I can barely walk today. And then I'm going back tonight.
This is Movement X, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Look at you.
Do they shout at you? Are they quite militant?
No, they don't shout. But the fact is, I'm a very competitive person. So I'll be struggling, but then I think there was 5 of us in a class and 4 girls and me. These girls outdid me on any exercise possible. They were machines.
Yeah.
So I was motivated because I wanted to do like sort of like do better than them, but I was straggling along.
Luke just sent us a picture of himself in the 90s. Mm. In 1999 in London, and he says, I still got laid and I looked like this. And wow, is he wearing a bad shirt?
Yeah, but that was the 90s.
But what's wrong with his hair?
He's got blonde hair, but it's like, it looks like it might even have been bleached. And he looks like he could be in the Backstreet Boys. And he's wearing a black shirt with like Chinese writing on it. It's horrendous. But thanks for sharing.
I'm sure he's wearing a pair of buffalo shoes as well.
Sure, there's some kind of horrible shoes. Yeah. Awful. You know, do you ever wonder when you get dressed in the morning if the kind of clothes we're wearing today will be laughed at by a generation in the future?
Yeah, of course they will.
Yeah.
I mean, is anything that we wear right now so shitty that we know it's going to look terrible in 10 years' time? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, you know, people in the 70s were convinced that
they thought they were
cool. Bell bottoms and platform shoes were the thing.
Oh, they thought they were so cool.
I mean, all the men wore platform heels, right? In the 70s?
Did you ever watch John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever?
Yes. Wow, that was quite something.
Those pants were so tight. They were so tight.
Unreal, right?
Sure.
I watched that movie, what, 3-4 years ago again. I was horrified. To be perfectly honest, I don't know. Don't get me wrong, the dance moves are all... It's almost like a time capsule now. And some of it is... It's frightening to see that the fashions and everything. I mean, it must have been an amazing time to be alive. And a part of me is kind of curious about what it was like, because that was before I was even born. But man, the way they dressed, the way they danced, the way they spoke to each other. The kind of things that we do now in society that we would never tolerate. I mean, that they did then that we would never tolerate now. Everything was just so different. And that's 40 years ago.
And it was completely acceptable for men to walk around with lots shirts that are buttoned just halfway up their chest.
Yeah. And the black guys had the big afros.
Yes.
And they also had the chests.
Yeah.
And they had medallions. The white and the black guys used to wear these big medallions, these gold chains. They thought they were the best.
But those pants were just too tight. Just structurally, functionally, everything was just too tight. In that movie, I think the pants actually danced, and Travolta was like those big whirly things.
Those things that are outside the petrol
station.
Basically,
they would just say, "And action pants," and then suddenly it would be movement.
Let's go. It makes you want to put on those pants, right?
Well,
who's got the time? Take me 3 hours to get that out of my calves.
Well, we thought skinny jeans were tough, but these are some pants.
I don't know what obesity rates were like in the 70s, no, but if
good.
You were fat, what would you do?
You were
indoors.
Did you still wear the tight pants?
Plus, they would come up really high, the pants, so they'd be at about your navel, right?
Yeah.
The waist would be up at your navel, and they were tight, so they would... Your actual balls would... Your balls would show.
Yes.
People would see your balls.
But imagine you're like late for a bus or a taxi or something. You try to run after. It's like, wait.
Because you'll tear your...
It's like, stop dancing. No, I'm running. I'm just trying to get the bus.
And the hair. The hair was big. Whether you were a man or a woman, you had to have big hair. Diana Ross, big hair. Sue Ellen Ewing from Dallas, big hair, right? Man. Some nostalgia this morning. I saw a woman on the TV news the other night who had big hair like that. I tweeted a picture of her. She's the one who's chairing the committee that's trying to find a new Tuli Madonsela.
Uh-huh.
And she's got a big, like a wig, like a Tina Turner sized wig.
Okay. A bit of a throwback.
Wow, Shannon just sent us a picture of her this morning. She's dressed to the nines. Where are you off to, Shannon? Holy hell. Hot tamale. She is a piece of ass. That's exactly right, Flax. Oh, you mean she's actually in the piece of ass?
Yes, she is in the piece of ass competition. Jesus,
I got so excited about her picture, I just closed the window on my screen. All right, let me try this again.
She was currently at 2, but that photo just shot her to number 1.
Yes. Wow. And those dance moves have got to be like the best ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's Saturday Night Live.
Everyone was sweaty.
Everyone.
Completely, the whole time. You go clubbing and just sweat. It was like Bikram clubbing back in those days.
All right, speaking about clubbing and speaking about going out and like what it was like in the 90s and some of the things. This Marco Brocato, this is a great story. I've met Marco a couple of times. I'd heard some of his stories and... But never from him, really. I asked him about some of the things he's done post the real story of the book. The book, which is called Rocks, One Man's Climb from Drugs to Dreams. But you have to hear this story to believe it. This guy was pretty much as down and out as you could get. He was addicted to all kinds of really dangerous drugs. He was stealing from his family. He had made a total disaster of his life. And he managed to pull it all back from the brink. If you're one of those people who's woken up this morning and you feel like life is too hard and things are too difficult, and You're not going to make it through the day, let alone the week or the month. Just hold on, because when you hear this guy's story, I'll tell you what, you will count your blessings and you will realize how it's possible for anyone to come back from the brink, no matter how bad you think it is. And you know, we all kind of get into a rut sometimes and we start thinking, oh, well, our lives are not as good as they could be. And of course they could be better. There's always someone on Instagram who's got a much better life than you. But this guy, before Instagram was there, he was living the wildest life. And I want him to tell you the stories, because if I tell you, you're not going to believe me. That's coming up in a short while. Marco Brocato. The book is called Rocks, One Man's Climb from Drugs to Dreams. And if you're wondering who the other person is we've been talking to this morning, there's a team of guys out here from Joburg Today TV. And they're filming me for some reason. What are you filming me for again? What do you need this for?
What we need from you is actually audience interaction.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So to
what do you mean? For your show?
Beg your pardon?
You mean for your show, you want people to interact? What do you want?
Well, we're actually showcasing you in Cliff Central, but we want to just really understand, like, people wake up in the morning, some get tea and coffee, others to wake them up, they listen to radio and live podcasts and such. So we want to get to understand how you actually go about doing your job.
All right. So you're getting in behind the scenes.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Don't get too close, otherwise I get annoyed.
We'll try to keep our distance.
All right. Now you two are doing fine. You got everything you need yet?
Oh, well, we need to have a nice chat with you afterwards. Then we're done.
How long do you need?
Probably, what, 10 minutes?
Too long.
Five? Even less.
Can do five?
If you can answer without being too long-winded.
Come in now. Come in right now and let's do the interview now and then we can get it out of the way.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Then you guys can go home. Get out of my way. Cool? Is that all right? Let's set it up. All right, let's do this live. And then we can get Marco in straight after that. This is how we do things. I'm into getting shit done this morning. That's what we're going to do. So when we come back, they'll do their little interview with me, and then we will get into meeting Marco Brocato, and we'll take your calls, your comments, your messages, 0861-555-189. You can message us to the screen, as many people already have, on Cliff Central, the official account of WeChat. If you want to get hold of us on Twitter, you can also do that at cliffcentral.com. All of those ways. And you can tweet directly from the cliffcentral.com app. If you haven't downloaded that already, it's as easy as can be and is the best thing to use to download your podcasts. They live on your device. And once you've downloaded it, you don't pay for the data anymore. So think about that. You download 3-4 hours, whatever you want, and you listen to that. When it's finished, you delete it. And if you do it in, you know, a Wi-Fi zone, it doesn't have to cost you a cent. So I don't like all this these excuses. I bump into people every now and then. And they say to me, oh, we don't know if it's, you know, we can afford the thing. But you could actually get your podcasts for free. There are all kinds of places now you can get free Wi-Fi. And there's no excuse. If you want to listen to us, I promise you it is possible and you can do it for nothing. You just have to find a Wi-Fi zone, download as many podcasts as you like. You can download shows from months ago. And then you never have to worry. When we come back, we'll do the interview. Straight after the interview, we'll have Marco Brocato about his book, Rocks. What a story. I think you're going to like this. CliffCentral.com, baby. You will crack a dome Monday morning call. CliffCentral.com.